So the title I have for this message is called The Rock. So when you hear The Rock, I got a couple pictures up for you that maybe that's what you think of. Do you think of this? Did you know that there's an army base during World War II in the Galapagos Islands called The Rock? Well, if you didn't know, now you know. That's The Rock. Next one here, we have a picture of, I didn't know this, there's a town in Georgia called The Rock. It is. You can look it up. Next one. Maybe you thought of this. Maybe this looks more familiar. That's Alcatraz. They call that The Rock. There's a good movie by the name of The Rock about that. Or maybe you thought of this guy. Is this what most of you thought of? The Rock. But it's definitely a popular thing to call things when something is sturdy or strong or whatever. But today in our passage from Matthew, Jesus is going to ask his disciples and you and I two important questions. And then I'm going to be posing those to you as well. So let's get this started. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." All right, they are now in Caesarea Philippi. Remember, Jesus is always on the move. And Caesarea Philippi is really north, like even in Galilee, it's north. And this was a new city, actually, that Philip created. Philip was one of King Herod the Great's sons, and this was his territory, and he created this city, hence the name Caesarea Philippi. And then they're in this area, remember that for later, Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus asks his disciples a question: who do people say the Son of Man is? And so all the Jews knew at that time that God was going to send a Messiah. He promised it in the Old Testament. It was coming. They knew it. So when Jesus asked this question to his disciples, some of them were like, "Well, some people think you're John the Baptist, who was beheaded already. Some say Jeremiah. Some say Elijah or one of the other prophets." So it was kind of all over the map. And so I want to ask you all sitting here today, this morning, here at Promise, who do people say Jesus is? There's hundreds and thousands of religions in this world. They all have different views on Jesus. Then none of them say that he is the Son of God or the only Son of God. Here's a quote from an American atheist. He says this: "For most of my life, I had taken it for granted that Jesus, although certainly not a God, was nevertheless an historical personage, perhaps a magician skilled in hypnosis." This is what an atheist says about Jesus. Here's what a Muslim says. A Muslim said, Jesus is just one of the messengers of God, along with Muhammad, Moses, Abraham, and Noah. Putting Jesus in the same group as all those people. A survey was done by Lifeway Research, and they found that 40% of the people in America that they surveyed, not Christians and Christians, so anybody, 40% of the people said Jesus was a great teacher, but not God. So not only non-Christians said that, people that identified as Christian said that. Just a teacher, not a God. So make no mistake about it. Satan is working hard in this world to get you to doubt who Jesus is. That's what he's all about. That's his biggest trick. That's how he tempts all of us to sin. You can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden when he says to Eve and Adam, did God actually say, don't eat of this tree? But that's how he starts every temptation with you. Did God actually say you shouldn't do that? Did God actually say that Jesus is his son? Did God actually say that Jesus is the Word? That's how Satan works, and he's working hard. Because he doesn't want people to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to earth to die on the cross for our sins. Let's go on. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Ah, good old Peter, right? Because now Jesus wants to know not what other people are saying, but he wants to know what they say. And Peter gives this amazing confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, Peter's always been the spokesperson for this group, and he's had a lot of stumbles and falls, hasn't he? We talked just a few weeks ago about when he was literally walking on water, he decided to take his eyes off Jesus and focus on the winds and the waves, and he sunk. Well, here's a big moment for Peter. So I ask you that same question. Who do you say Jesus is? Let's go on, verse 17. And Jesus answered him, saying, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, no, I'm not going to go there yet. Peter was able to make this bold statement because God revealed it to him. Again, this goes to the whole thing about faith. The faith that each of us has is a gift that we have been given in our baptism. The Holy Spirit works through that water. The Holy Spirit works through the Word and gives us this faith that we have. Because if you think about it, if you had to depend on your earthly brain to believe all this stuff, we'd talk ourselves out of it, wouldn't we? That's the problem with some of these atheists and people like that. It just doesn't make sense. Well, that's why we're thankful that it's a gift that we have been given by God. And that's why Peter was able to make this bold confession, because God revealed it to him. You know, last week I mentioned that on October 1st, we are having a Bring a Friend Sunday here at Promise, where we're encouraging you all to invite somebody just to come to church with you. So let's imagine for a moment this friend, or whoever it is, acquaintance, or relative, asks you the question, who is this Jesus guy anyway? Who do you say Jesus is? How would you respond to that? Have you ever thought about that? Jesus just isn't asking his disciples here. He's asking each and every one of us. Who do you think he is? You know, of all the surveys that I read, I like to look at these results taken of Christians. The number one reason that we don't talk about Jesus is, what do you think? Fear. It all revolves around fear. Will you not talk about Jesus out of a fear of rejection? Or maybe it's a fear of failure. Or maybe you don't want to talk about Jesus because you have a fear of just not knowing enough. How can I tell somebody about Jesus? Or maybe you have a fear of ruining a friendship. Or maybe you're just afraid of saying the wrong thing. Or maybe even a fear of just being made fun of altogether. And make no mistake about this as well. All of these things could happen and do happen. But we don't have to be afraid. Because God has promised us throughout the whole Bible, the whole one narrative of events, He's told us time and again that He is with us. Which is why I really do like my confirmation verse. It's verses 19 and 20. And so my confirmation cake that my mom made for me, she could only fit on there, "Lo, I am with you always." Because you couldn't fit the whole thing on there. But that there, Jesus is telling us He is going to be with us always, even when we are talking to people about Him. Just like God was with Peter, enabling him to give that bold confession of Jesus. So we don't need to be afraid of speaking up for Jesus and telling people who He is and what He did for us. Because really all we're doing is planting seeds wherever we go. And the Holy Spirit is the one that comes in and works that seed. It's not our job to convert people. We're just dropping seeds. So we don't need to be afraid. So when we are asked who Jesus is, when you are asked who Jesus is, you can boldly say, "Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." Because He tells us that in the Bible. Let's go to verse 18 now. "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I added the exclamation points. That's not in the Greek. Jesus tells Peter, this is a big moment for Peter. He makes a lot of mistakes, but this is a big moment. He says, "On this rock, I will build my church." Yes, Peter means rock. But Jesus wasn't talking about Peter himself. He wasn't going to build His church on Peter the person. He is building His church on what Peter said. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that confession is the rock, the real rock. I got a picture up here I wanted to show you. Remember I said they were in Caesarea Philippi, and we got to see this when we went over to Israel. And this is a picture of a place in Caesarea Philippi. On the right is where a temple used to be to the god called Pan, P-A-N, half goat, half man. Seems pretty silly to worship that, right? But that's what people were doing. And right next to that big cave. And we got to go down close where those people are. You can look back in and it just looks dark and it looks like it goes forever. This was referred to as the gates of hell. And what did Jesus say? "The gates of hell will not prevail against my church." Jesus is the rock, which is what promise here, us, promise is built on. We are built on Jesus and always will be. Jesus and His word are our foundation. And everything we do here, Jesus, I now have a prop. The crimson thread ties it all together. The crimson thread not only ties all of Scripture together, it ties everything together. The crimson thread is weaving in and out of every one of you as you go out. And when people ask you who Jesus is, you can tell them. Because Jesus is with you. And you know what? as long as we here at Promise keep Jesus the rock as our foundation, and everything we do here is revolving around that Jesus, the gates of hell will never prevail against anything we do here. Amen. Let's pray.